transmission.
Well, I don't know about that. Although, I admit, it might be 11 o'clock p.m. somewhere on this Earth. But we like to say that it is 1930 UTC, right now, the time at which the Dubious Goals Committee always begins. My name is Tobe. I'm the chairman of this very Dubious Goals Committee. And I'm sitting here with the omnipresent giant cup of tea, but it's only about half full. Oh, it's so good though. Oh, that is some delicious tea. Oh, I do love drinking tea. But I imagine you knew that already. It's not a secret, people. It really isn't. Okay. So, today, it's another cold day, but at least it didn't snow today, and it is sunny, and I've already been out and about. I didn't actually go anywhere interesting, because it's still cold. It's like 15 degrees out there, and there's wind, and so we have a wind chill of like zero, and so it's a bit brisk, but I did go to the grocery store today, bought 2 pounds of hamburger. What else did I buy? Oh, graham crackers, of course. Oh, I forgot to get salad mix. I was going to get some lettuce and eat a salad. I forgot to get the salad mix. Oh, well. I can always go back. The streets are fairly clear. The drive was okay. I just forgot stuff. What else did I buy? I bought a whole bunch. Oh, of course, I got more bagels. And I told myself not to buy more bagels. But being as I don't have a microwave, I have to buy food that I can cook on my stove or in my toaster. So I thought, oh, I better get some bagels. Yeah, that'll be fine. I'm digesting them fairly well, so. And I also bought some cream cheese. Chive and onion cream cheese. I have very specific tastes. Yeah, I didn't buy regular bagels either. I bought honey wheat bagels. So I can have honey wheat bagels with chive and onion sour cream. I have very specific tastes. Like this tea. So good. It's not just an Earl Grey. You know, most Earl Greys are black tea. And this is not a green Earl Grey. This is actually a combination. This is a mix of black and green tea with bergamot oil, creating just a wonderful combination. This is my everyday tea. I have a lot of other teas, but this is the one that this is what I drink 80 ounces of every day, at least. Actually, the average is probably closer to 140 or 160 ounces. Wait, what's 40 times 4? 160. Good doing math, Tobe. Reward yourself with some more tea. I'm so proud I'm doing math problems in my head. That's good science. All right. Well, before I go eat my lunch, and we got 26 minutes before I can do any eating, I would like to share with you an email that I received from my mother this morning. And this is great. And this is kind of funny. This is really typical of my parents in many different ways. As you know, I am old, and my parents are still alive, and so my parents are of a different generation, let's just say. I'm not going to come out and say, oh, my parents are so old. Because you wouldn't know it if you met them. But my parents are very interesting people. And, you know, My parents are probably the age of your grandparents, and are your grandparents online? That's the great thing about my mom and dad. My mom and dad have been online since the early 80s. So email is just an everyday function of their life. And I'm happy about that because I can just email my parents at any time. And, you know, they get it. And you don't have to explain it to them. And so, you know, my parents are very computer literate. And this is kind of funny because this email, I'll just read you the email first and then I'll sort of explain what this is all about. But this is from my mom. From my mom today, Wednesday at 11:15 a.m. From my mom. This is so good. And my mom says, I am watching the weirdest movie starring John Travolta. Pulp Fiction. It's bizarre. There must be something I'm missing. Ha! And then, you know, signed my mom. Okay. So the first thing you should realize is that my mom has never seen Pulp Fiction. And my mom is seeing it for the first time today in the year 2018. And so you might think by reading this that my parents are out of touch. Well, no, my parents aren't out of touch. If they were out of touch, you know, they wouldn't be emailing. You know what I'm saying? So here's this strange juxtaposition of a lack of knowledge of pop culture combined with using the most modern form of communication. So here's my mom emailing me to tell me she's watching Pulp Fiction for the first time and she's apparently not getting it. But, you know, that's kind of okay because Pulp Fiction is not a linear movie. You kind of have to watch it a couple of times. And if she didn't watch it from the beginning to the end, and she probably wasn't, she probably just tuned to it in the middle of it. And if you catch Pulp Fiction in the middle, you might not be able to follow what's going on at all. I mean, think about it. But this is really typical of my parents. My parents are of the generation above me. And so they stopped caring about stupid pop culture stuff about 30 years ago. But that isn't to say that my parents aren't out of touch. My parents just have their own scene. And they're very deeply and heavily into their own scene. My parents are musicians. They do have a band. They do play very regularly. We're talking a couple of times a month. They gig constantly. And they play for dances. They play concerts. They play for weddings, they play for funerals, they played for anything. You need my parents' band, they'll play it. if the calendar has open spaces in it, they will take the gig. So my parents are very hip and very cool, but just very into their own thing. You could ask them, hey, do you know who Justin Timberlake is? And they would say, never heard of the guy. But then you might be able to say something like, well, he was the entertainment on the Super Bowl. Oh, yeah, maybe I heard this name before. Okay, so my parents, one, they do not know who Miley Cyrus is. They do not know who Lady Gaga is. But two, my parents do not care. My parents could not give a crap about Lady Gaga or any pop culture stuff that's going on right now. And I think that's awesome. I mean, definitely have your own scene. People who are obsessed with pop culture don't have their own culture to be involved with. You know, they're just being spoon-fed. Oh, here's what you should be into. Yeah, no, my parents are into their own thing. And that's pretty cool. The other thing that I think is so cool about this, email from my mom, is I'm glad my mom is actually watching Pulp Fiction. Because, you know, to people of my generation and younger, Pulp Fiction is generally considered to be a modern classic. You know, Quentin Tarantino got his big budget and he went nuts. And let's face it, Pulp Fiction is a pretty good film. I mean, even I grudgingly respect it. And I think it's pretty good, and it is a modern classic. So I responded in this manner to my mom. I responded back to her. I wrote like 3 paragraphs back to my mom saying, "Pulp Fiction is considered a modern classic. It is a little bizarre and may seem even more so if you don't see the movie from beginning to end. The story is not told in a linear manner, and the action jumps around several subplots that don't come together until the end. It's an important film for a number of reasons, not at least of which it is John Travolta's comeback film." See, my mom, you know, she mentioned, the first thing she mentioned is, "I'm watching the weirdest movie starring John Travolta." My mom knows who John Travolta is just because way back in the 70s, when my parents were still sort of in tune with pop culture, you know, John Travolta was huge. He was a monster. He was a monster star, bigger than pretty much anything you can think of today. I can't even think of who would be an equivalent today. But, you know, he had a TV show and he had the string of hit movies. And then his career went dead because nobody wanted that dancing idiot type of character anymore. Dancing and singing fool. So my mom is familiar with who John Travolta is, but, you know, not quite familiar with his career, not that he had one after, say, Saturday Night Fever. So I'm explaining to her that, yeah, that's his comeback film, you know, and then I said, when Pulp Fiction came along, people were shocked at how good Travolta was. And it turns out he can act, and it resurrected his career. "I could go on and talk about this film for an hour," I replied. "The main thing to know is that you might have to watch it a couple of times from beginning to end before it starts to come together for you. So many great performances in this gem. A twisted gem to be sure, but a gem nonetheless. And no, we never find out what's in the briefcase." So now, I actually kind of want to watch Pulp Fiction with my parents. I know that sounds kind of crazy. Oh, the other thing you should realize is that my mom is watching this on TV. So she's seeing a broadcast edited version. And you know, sometimes when you edit a movie, you lose some things. And especially in a movie like Pulp Fiction, you start editing out some of the violence or some of the weirdness or anything, and you're going to lose some continuity. So I can understand why my mom's saying, "Well, this is weird." But that's why I would like to sit down and watch the movie with my mom and my dad and make them watch this movie and explain what's going on as it goes. Because, you know, you and me, we've seen the movie, what, 10 or a dozen times by now, if not more. And there's been a lot of thought and speculation put into the movie after the fact, and so I think it would be beneficial to my mom's understanding of the film if I was there sort of tying the pieces together for her. But still, oh, yeah, I woke up this morning, checked my email, and found out my mom was watching Pulp Fiction for the first time. And I love this funny, understated line in my mom's email. "I'm watching the weirdest movie starring John Travolta." "Pulp Fiction, it's bizarre. There must be something I'm missing." No, Mom, you're not missing anything. The movie's just made that way. But you do have to sort of be paying attention. Now, see, if I was around my mom and my dad, I would then explain to them the style of this movie and why the movie is the way it is. First of all, you got to explain Quentin Tarantino and his rise to power and what this film is and blah, blah, blah. And I'm sure they would have a better understanding of it. But every time I look at this line, I'm looking at the email right now. "I'm watching the weirdest movie starring John Travolta." Yeah, you are. That is the weirdest movie starring John Travolta. It is easily the weirdest movie he's ever made. But come on, let's face it. Everybody loves him in it. You know, when I was a kid, I hated John Travolta. I thought he was just cheesy, smarmy, just the dorkiest dork, just, you know, a singing and dancing idiot. But, so I was as shocked as anyone when I heard that he was starring in Quentin Tarantino's new movie. But when I saw it, I just went, okay, that was actually pretty good. My entire opinion of John Travolta has now been changed. And I do have some respect for the man now, whereas I had absolutely zero previous. I'm drinking tea. I'm drinking tea like a fool. I think it's time to sit down here. It's a little bit cool in this room. But anyway, what else am I doing? I'm sitting here watching, along with reading entertaining mail emails from my mom. I'm sitting here watching cricket. This is the Big Bash League cricket final, the championship game between the, so where are the Strikers from again? Are they the Adelaide Strikers? Are they, I can't remember. And the Hurricanes. That's how you say Hurricanes in Australian. The Hurricanes. And they're from Hobart, which I think is in Tasmania. Yes, there really is a place called Tasmania. And there really is an animal called a Tasmanian devil. I have seen actual Tasmanian devils in real life. In the San Diego Zoo when I was a kid. I was surprised. I thought, you know, that was just a made-up cartoon character. Nope, Tasmanian devils are a real thing. And they're really cute. And they are good dudes. But apparently you don't want to mess with them. They're like Wolverines, except worse. Cute dudes that you do not want to mess with. Yeah, so I'm actually watching this game. But I've already seen it. It was on, what, yesterday? The day before? When did I watch it? I don't know. I don't even know what day this is. This is Wednesday? Yeah, I don't know. So I'm kind of excited. I'm excited because cricket is on. I'm sort of not impressed because I already know how this game turns out. Weatherald hits like, he hits for 107, I think. I think the Strikers end up with 203 and the Hurricanes can't quite chase that down. And here's the obligatory show the cute girls in the crowd shot. Look at all those cute Aussie girls. And then pan over to little kids wearing chicken buckets on their heads. Because this is Big Bash League. You can't have Big Bash without chicken bucket on your head. But I did want to check to see what else is on. Oh, I'm missing FA Cup. Aren't I an idiot? Tottenham versus Newport. The replay, that's right, because they drew before. But Tottenham is now ahead 2-0, and that's probably going to become a big blowout. So I don't feel bad about missing that. But we need to go forward in the schedule to see what's on late tonight. What do I have on? Oh, I got no Archer tonight, but I got two episodes of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia I'll probably watch because there's nothing else on at that time anyway. What's on my movie channel all day? Top Secret. Yeah, that's funny, but I've seen it a million times. Pink Panther. Ooh, Antitrust is on. I think I wanted to watch that. Yeah. We'll catch a little bit of that later. And I gotta make some food. I'm gonna eat Hamburger Helper today. Oh, I shouldn't have said it. I don't like to say brand names unless, you know, I'm being compensated. Unless, you know, there's been paid promotional consideration. And there hasn't been any. So until a certain Panburger Partner Company decides to re-enumerate me, or at least give me free product. I shouldn't be mentioning their names. And I'm just flipping through channels looking for stuff to watch on TV. Because now I'm out of stuff to do for the day. Although that's not entirely true. Oh. Although I did already check the mail. I only got junk mail. Junk mail from my grocery store. I swear to God, my grocery store mails me more than anybody else, including the federal government and the hospital. You know, I only get, what, maybe two pieces of mail from the hospital a month, and maybe two pieces of mail from the government a month. But I swear to God, I get multiple pieces of mail from my grocery store a week. It's not even funny. Well, it's kind of funny, but not in a ha-ha way. More in sort of a really, really super annoying way. Oh, the other thing that I'm going to do today, other than eat, is I'm going to read. And when I say I'm going to read, that also means I'm going to take a bath. Because, oh, I love to take a bath and read and drink tea at the same time. Three different things at once. Drinking tea. Taking baths and reading. I've been trying to read a little bit more lately. Just because I've sort of lost my ability to read and concentrate on stuff. And plus, books can put me in strange moods. And if you'll remember from yesterday's show, I was talking about picking up the book Neuromancer and rereading the William Gibson classic. And even though I've read it maybe a dozen times, I haven't actually read it in at least 10 or 15 years, possibly even longer. And I thought, oh, that might be fun. And so I had every intention of reading that yesterday, starting to read it yesterday, but I ended up not doing it, only because I thought it might put me in a weird mood. Not necessarily a bad mood, or not necessarily depressed, but it's so good. It's when writing is that good, it can affect me mentally. And I'm afraid that if I read Neuromancer, I might get a little bit depressed, or I might get into a dangerous mood in which I feel like I need to hack something. Oh, and so at the last minute, I did not pick it up. It's still sitting right here. I haven't started rereading it for the nth time. I don't really feel like I need to, though. But you know what I did pick up instead to read? And you're going to laugh. I don't know why I grabbed this. But I actually, which edition is this? I gotta look this up real quick. For some reason, I wanted to read something that was real, so it wouldn't really affect my brain too much. I didn't want to read some fiction. So I'm reading nonfiction, and I'm reading the book, and don't laugh, Cyberpunk, Outlaws and Hackers on the Computer Frontier by Katie Hafner and John Markoff. This is a pretty famous book. You're probably familiar with it. I think this is the second edition. Yeah, because this is the one that has the updated with new information about notorious hacker Kevin Mitnick. Oh, so I decided to pick this book up and just read the Mitnick bits. And I'm pretty far into it. I'm probably coming to the end. Yeah, I got just a few pages left of the Kevin Mitnick section. And if you're familiar with the Kevin Mitnick saga, this is the worst book. These two people, Katie Hafner and John Markoff, don't know jack about computers. And so there are some real glaring, I don't want to say mistakes so much as misunderstandings of what's going on. There's just too many examples. I'm not even going to go into it. But if you want to read more accurate, there are better books in the Kevin Mitnick saga than this one. But I decided to start with this one because it's it's pretty light. It's a very light reading, and it goes fast. And it's got a couple of other, it's got two other chapters, one about Robert Tappan Morris and the other one, that hack about, you know, the one with Neil Clift and the Cuckoo's Egg the book was about. And anyway, yeah, so I picked this up and started reading it instead, and I just laugh. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't glorify Kevin Mitnick. I appreciate his abilities and his hacks, but the guy's playing kind of a dangerous game, and I never really sort of appreciated Kevin Mitnick's style. For me, so I don't consider Kevin Mitnick to be one of my hacker heroes or anything like that, although I'm very familiar with his work and his case and, you know, his legal entanglements. But I find there's some other hackers that I find more interesting, and these are guys who were funnier. I was always of the theory that, or of the mindset that, if you're going to do something, if you're going to break the law, if you're going to intentionally commit a crime, and you have to actually plan it, and you have to, you know, execute this plan, you might as well add an element of humor. Does that make any sense? If you're going to commit a crime, you might as well commit a funny crime. You know, because when you're hacking, when you're committing a real technical crime, nobody's going to understand what you do. You know, nobody's going to appreciate a hack if they don't understand the technical aspects behind it. And so lay people aren't going to appreciate good hacks. And so if you want more people to understand what has happened, you're not going to be able to do that, but you can add the element of humor so that people will go, oh, well, I don't understand how he did it, but that's funny. Okay? People understand things better if it's funny. And so I've always sort of believed that if you're going to commit a crime, commit a funny crime. Does that make any sense? It makes perfect sense to me. And I'm sorry, but although Mitnick did some outrageous stuff, he didn't do funny stuff. But still, that doesn't mean I don't respect the man. Oh, boy, he got into some wacky stuff. And I am enjoying reading this book again. And I'm afraid that once I finish this book up, it's probably going to make me want to read all my other classic hacker books, including but not limited to The Fugitive Game by Jonathan Litman. That's his Kevin Mitnick book. And then Jonathan Litman also wrote a book about Kevin Poulsen, who was one of my favorite guys because his hacks were funny and very entertaining. And I might have to get out Takedown, and what was the other book about there was so many books about Mitnick. There was another one, I can't remember what the name of it was. Something, the cyber something and the samurai. There was the book Takedown, which was written by Shimomura, and the other book was about the Shimomura case. And I don't know, maybe I'll read The Hack or Crackdown again. Or the old Legion of Doom book, whatever that was called, I can't remember. But this is not the time for remembering the titles of books. This is the time where I say, you have been listening to the Dubious Goals Committee, a show that airs every single day at 1930 UTC, right here on Anon Radio. So tune in tomorrow. Who knows what our little Tobster's going to get up to. Probably not anything outside, because the weather is still going to be cold and bad tomorrow, so no dudes. Anyway, I'm out of here. I'll see you later. Bye-bye.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.